This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I was with Paul, Newsman, and we were doing Newsman's Own Lemonade. Inventing the recipe.
Okay.
So before you come along and say, oh, this is my favorite lemonade, oh, it's for charity. I was involved in way before that, figuring out the first recipe.
The original recipe.
Yes. And then it's something changed. We had been talking about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
On the set of Hood. And I go to his house and I say, okay, we're finally going to do this. And he says, well, it's Paul Newsman lemonade. It should have eggs. You remember when
eggs?
He says, you remember when I ate all those eggs in the movie? He says, I ate 300 eggs. And I said, I think it was 50. I don't remember it that well, but I don't think it was 300.
300 is a stretch.
50 is a lot.
That's plenty. You should be proud of 50.
But he said it was 300. He seemed to think that it was, that the movie was called 300, that the movie 300 was about him eating 300 eggs. And so he says, well, so obviously one of the ingredients in the lemonade should be 300 eggs. And I say, okay, do you have, and before I even finish saying, do you have, he suddenly reveals, a panel opens up and there's 600 eggs in it. Because he says, I'm going to eat 300 of these just for myself while we're here.
Like a snack.
Yes. And then we'll use the other 300 in the recipe.
Gotcha.
And I say, okay, but this is not a drink. This is food. This is the first concern I had.
You can drink an egg.
Well, that's what he said.
And he said, I would take his side there.
And he said, look, it comes with a glass. It comes with its own cup.
Two cups per
two
egg.
Two cups, yes. And he perfectly divides the egg into two equal halves with his hands. And then he says, we want to do shots? Throws back now 600 egg shots because it's two per egg. And now he's too tired to do the lemonade. And I knew you would have stuff to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, the little bit of ginger balances out like the 300 eggs. He was on the right track.
The tang of the ginger, the savory flavor of the egg is balanced out by that sharp tang of the ginger. And it's antibiotic.
And it's a palate
properties
cleanser.
As well, and it's a superfood.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, Insider's Guide to Kicking Butt and Dropping Names on the Red Carpet, Lineback Hallways of the Industry We Call Showbiz. I want to introduce my guest, Tim Baltz. I don't want to wait even one more second.
I'm right here. I'm ready to go.
It's really great to talk to Tim Baltz. Today especially. Today's interesting. Sean is not here. Of course, if people have been following Sean on social media, you know that he has been following a snail for the last several days. His goal, he says, is to get the honey. I think he's under the impression that what the snail is leaving behind is honey.
Is he picking up this trail that he thinks is honey?
No, he doesn't want the snail to know that he's following it.
Okay, so does he think that once the snail gets to a certain point, it's just going to dump a lot of honey and that honey is leaking from its body right now?
I think this is based on his posts. This is the impression that I'm under. He thinks that the snail is carrying a small supply of honey.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean talks about the marshmallow test a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The, how good he is at the marshmallow test. Are you familiar with this?
That's how many marshmallows you can fit in your mouth at
yes.
once? Yes.
Yeah. And so he said, this perfect example of the marshmallow test. I am, he desperately wants to eat the honey that the snail is carrying. But if he passes on eating this honey, the snail will get lead him back to the big honey place.
The trove.
Thank you. I don't know like the technical that's what term for this.
Pack but, of honey.
Yes, so let me let me unpack this a little bit more. He thinks that this small snail is headed to basically like some kind of cave.
It has one point. Shipment of honey.
Mm. Where all other snails are leading to drop off their shipment to create yes. this super trove of honey.
Yes. What
and he wants to eat
a
that.
Layman would know is the big honey place, but yes, the Brett apparently says it's called the trove.
That's a super trove.
A super trove. And he yes. wants to eat this whole super trove.
He wants to eat the super trove and sell whatever he can't eat.
I mean,
shrewd.
And he says it's permanent. Famous thing about honey is it is a forever food.
Yeah, that's
and so
true.
You can theoretically make money on it forever.
You can spread it on wounds. A lot of people don't know that.
Okay.
You didn't know that? You gave me an okay, like, okay.
Well, no, it makes sense. No, I do believe you.
You can. You can spread it on wounds.
You can spread anything on wounds.
Well, yeah, Brett, yes. Yeah, but spreading honey on wounds will actually help the wound.
You and you can't spread anything.
I don't want to help the wound. The wound hurts.
You can't spread anything on a wound because you can't spread most things.
But honey is famously spreadable.
Okay, I don't like when people say,
famously?
Oh, you don't know that's famous.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I know everything that is famous. So actually, the fact that you are saying that is famous is a lie.
You know what I wish? Here's what I wish. Here's what I wish would happen.
Haze.
I wish. No, I was about to talk about Sean's quest for this honey.
Okay.
What I wish that Sean would do is pick up this one snail, suck the honey out of it that he thinks is inside.
Okay, he wants to do that. I think it would only take the slightest provocation for – I hope he's not listening to this show.
But this would – and because he'll be listening. It's not going to come out immediately.
Right, but this seems like it could go on for a long time.
Okay, well, if he picked up this one snail and he tried to suck the honey out of it. And
yes.
As we famously know, there is no honey in this snail. I'm sorry to say that again. Then that would disabuse him of the notion that perhaps there is this super trove of honey waiting for him with some bigger snail or all these snails dropping
their
honey.
He does not give up. He does not admit that he's wrong very easily.
See, I know this yeah. about you two from listening to the
So this is what would happen. He would suck the snail and he would say, this is the most delicious honey I've ever had in my life.
He's never had honey before or he thinks that this is a new
no,
kind of
he
honey.
Has. I think in his head, the process he's going through is like, okay, this doesn't taste like at least most of the honey I've ever had. But to admit that honey was never a part of this mm-hmm. is a fate worse than death. He would never. So he'd say, oh, it's the most delicious honey. And eventually he would start leading the neighborhood. He would double down and start calling out to the neighborhood that he's discovered a famous new honey that is the sweetest and has the most healing properties. And everyone essentially becomes Deadpool.
Okay. So maybe, yeah. And then he'd spread this like snail honey all over his wounds if yes. he had some or some of his neighbors.
That's why I said, oh, okay, earlier because I was catching up to, he said, so I get the honey and then I am essentially Deadpool. Because of his healing properties.
Yeah. I know. Well, I don't know. I got to give that sigh because I wouldn't want to be Deadpool. I wouldn't want to be
you
Deadpool.
You wouldn't want to be Deadpool.
I wouldn't want to be
Deadpool.
It'd
be tough to enjoy Deadpool. That's the one curse of being Deadpool.
Right, exactly. Well,
you go see the movie and you can't appreciate it the way everyone else did.
Because you are Deadpool.
But Doctor, I am Deadpool essentially is his life. One thing I want to point out about what's going on with Sean is it was 115 degrees in Los Angeles yesterday. I just think that's important context for what is going on with him and the snail. A lot of the stuff he was talking about yesterday was about how the snail was disappearing to try and hide from him.
Yeah, if he's outside following a snail that keeps disappearing, like snails yes. can't just up and disappear.
Yeah.
So it's possible he was having a hallucination based on heat. It sounded like right. he did not beat the heat.
But it could shrivel.
It could shrivel.
The snail.
Yeah, snail could shrivel pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And then if he looks away and the snail is shriveled and he looks back yes. where it was and it's moved slightly and it's shriveled.
Yes.
Then
he thinks it's hiding from him.
Right.
And again, this just makes him more
Then he has to walk
upset.
Back and find the trail, which he thinks is honey, which is actually a snail trail.
Yes.
And then relocate the shriveled snail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is all just to say no Sean.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, Sean. I you know, when I noticed when I came in here and I asked where's Sean, you said he's not here today. That would have sufficed for me. That would have been enough for me to.
Okay. But you understand there's more people involved in this than just you, and actually like 100 freaking thousand, 200,000 more.
You're being modest.
It's like a lot of people, and especially with your fans.
Oh, yeah, all the CISO heads.
Yes.
Just dying for their continued CISO content.
So we should explain for anyone who doesn't know Tim, Tim was the shrink on CISO, short for CISO Many Content. CISO is no longer allowed to be online.
They're dormant right now is what I've been told.
Seized by the government, I heard.
Yeah.
For being technically a drug.
Cease and desist for not being regulated. Although,
CISO and desist.
You know, in Trump's America, it's possible that if we deregulate enough, CISO's just going to come raging back.
Right.
They're going to unshackle it. They're going to unshackle all that content.
I hear, but some of the rhetoric, I think it's like an opiate, technically, in terms of its effects.
Right.
CISO was. Mm-hmm. Would just make people, like, so blissed out more than, like, they'd ever been before. So I think it is technically against the law now.
Right. Similar to OxyContin, it kind of dumps all of its load in you right away.
The payload is immediate release. Yes. No time release.
Uh-uh. No. And it's long lasting too. Mm-hmm. So that it's the same hit that heroin addicts get.
Yeah. And is it addictive? Oh, I don't know. Maybe try it. Maybe try to watch this one.
Try to log on, try to play something, have it freeze and go to that dumb jackass screen with Richard Ioade on it. And then you're hooked even more because you can't wait for it to stop or you go to another show.
Now you really want to watch this
that
show.
That was their trick to get you to go from one show to another is that one show would freeze on that dumb jackass goddamn screen. And then you would go, all right, well, I'll watch an episode of Take My Wife. And then it freezes, you know, 12 minutes in. And you're like, well, what's Gentleman Lobsters all about? Then that would freeze. And you go see, oh, what are some of these Britcoms all about?
Suddenly you've watched 90 seconds of every show.
Yeah.
And the cycle continues.
And you see so many content that way.
See so many content. But you were the shrink.
I was the shrink. And it took a long time to be the CISO shrink, to be honest. We started as a web series in 2011, made it into a pilot in 2012, took it to New York Television Festival, won a couple of awards, pitched it around town in 2013, sold it to Pivot in 2013, sat in development for 2.5 years, got it back, sold it to CISO, and then made the shrink.
Wow.
That's quite a Hollywood
story.
Normally,
we would like to stretch that out. That burned off a lot of.
It did? Well, if
I was just hoping to take a longer walk through your career, and now I don't. I'm not sure where else to go. The episode, I should have said before, the episode was going to be the shrink story where that would like Pivot alone was going to be like half. How long have we done in the show?
It's been like seconds. No, it's been 12 minutes.
All right. Okay. Let me tell your listeners.
The show's supposed to be really long.
If you go back, if your listeners go back and start from when I started that little like shrink.
Yes.
If they slow
a little shrink wrap.
If they slow what
some
list, that, I said
me
down.
Saying shrink wrap. Sorry. We'll make some of the listeners horny. We should cut that.
How come?
A lot of these guys are like they like to shrink wrap themselves. Something about the sensation.
Yeah.
They kind of dip themselves in a plastic goo, let it dry, and then put a like kind of a vacuum attachment into the one hole, and then they just kind of shrink themselves up.
You know, I learned this online. Some fans pointed this out to me when they were searching for shrink-related content, is that a lot of times they would just end up with pictures of women with huge feet.
Uh-huh.
Like basically like forced perspective stuff.
Okay, like the rest of them was shrink?
No, like this woman was like, you know, 50 feet tall.
Okay.
And her feet were huge.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You have?
I mean.
Yeah, it's
just you're not doing just a very – I just want to say you're doing a very bad job of trying to cover up whether you saw it.
It seems
when
like
you say, usually you don't say yes. After that.
But I got in my head and I thought it would be too obvious if I said no.
No, look.
And so I said yes, thinking maybe
either you haven't seen it and you were lying, or you have seen it and you just got busted because you searched for it yourself.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you were searching for the shrink.
It just popped up.
Well, let me tell you.
These pop-ups.
Let me step into the shrink.
I don't have a
pop-up. A little bit.
Yeah.
There's no judgment here. If you like 50 foot tall women with big old feet. That's fine.
Why did that come up for the shrink? Is it like the fetish is like you are a shrinked man. And so now all the women's feet is so big.
Mm-hmm. You've been shrink wrapped down to size.
Yes.
And
the guys listening will be like, well, shrink wrapping doesn't actually like shrink you. It just puts you in a very tight.
A tight spot.
Plastic.
Okay, yeah.
Encasement.
Claustrophobic fetish.
But you were saying if you shrink, if you slow down, if you go back and slow down the pivot part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then I'll unpack everything. You can slow it down and there's like, I filled in every single thing. I just said
you
that.
You did a whole show?
I did a whole show within that probably like 20 second burst.
Oh. Well, then this is just bonus time.
But for the people that don't want to slow it down and want to listen at regular speed, we can absolutely spend the time there.
It's two shows. We could do two shows.
Yeah.
How many shows? Will you let me know when you're doing another show?
Yeah, absolutely.
It within this one? That would be huge. Because then we can just kind of release those separately.
I'll usually speed up really fast.
Okay.
And it's a very small file for people. You know, the bonus show.
Compressment. Like Pied Piper.
Inside Out.
What?
What?
That's not from Inside Out.
Inside Out compression or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right, with the dicks.
Busted again. Busted again.
Inside Out compression, yeah, and more shrink stuff.
I was going to say you should work for Micro Machines.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. that guy. He died a few years ago.
Oh, wow. He was like sort of trying to do what you did, which is do a whole commercial inside the commercial because mm-hmm. that's how he would talk so fast. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's only so many ways that I can get out the word about CISO and shrink these days, you know? So I have to compress it into other statements.
That's right.
Because otherwise I'm going to get caught because it's still being regulated.
Even you are legally a drug dealer.
Yeah.
By talking about CISO and the shrink.
Well, walking around, I'm almost a drug dealer because I was on every goddamn CISO show.
Yeah.
They put me in every fucking show.
Yeah, that's right. They couldn't get enough. They got hooked.
They got hooked on me. I was CISO's little bad fucking boy. They knew it, too. They knew it. My reps knew it, man. Oh, they got just above
scale. They knew, huh?
They got just above scale. They knew it.
They call you and tell you, Tim, it seems like you're something of a bad boy, are you?
I keep getting
these calls, and I'm beginning to think that you're CISO's bad boy.
We got these normal auditions for you. Sorry. You got to go do a read-through with the casting director. Unfortunate. You've been here a few years, but that's what it is. But we got straight offer for this other CISO show if you want to just walk onto set. I'd be like, yeah. Can I be disrespectful?
Yeah.
They hope you will be. They don't want you to be respectful.
Is set the right word for where CISO shows would film?
Yeah.
There was like a set, or was this kind of like the world is our set?
No, most of CISO's shows were filmed where the Five and the Los Angeles River and Los Feliz Boulevard kind of connect.
Oh, okay. That's a good lot.
Yeah, Los Feliz crossing over to Atwater Village. And when you think about the world, like they shot a lot of exteriors.
Yes.
For bajillion-dollar properties.
Yes.
Like in Beverly Hills and stuff like
that.
But most of it was just down by the Los Angeles River.
A lot of it seems like zoomed in from very far away.
Yeah.
Those exteriors at Beverly Hills are kind of almost like pixelated, like they've been blown up from maybe like 6 miles away.
And you'll see a lot of, here's another, sometimes you'll see like a little pixelated or like blurred out thing in the bottom right, or maybe like right in the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
And that's where they located the kind of watermark that said Getty Images, and they just blurred that out.
Wow.
That was a cool
You can do that.
Trick.
People don't know that you can zoom in on it far enough that it's blurry.
That was the first thing that got CISO in trouble with the government. They were stealing Getty images.
Seized. Seized and desist.
Deceased, dozed.
Well, I wonder if we – since we already kind of did the show, since you are the shrink – I wonder if we could talk about, since Sean isn't here, I don't know. It could kind of be interesting for me to talk about, I don't have a lot of opportunity to talk to people when Sean is not around.
Oh, your face kind of changed when you said that. What's up?
Well, I mean, it's just like you work with someone for a long time and obviously stuff just like piles up.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you're like, oh, this is normal. You know, you get used to things. But when that person is not there anymore, like for the past several days, I've had this opportunity to think like, oh, like what was my life before this? Like what would I change if I could change anything? I can't. There's no point in talking about it. Nothing will ever change. But just the opportunity to share it with the shrink, and maybe you could help me like you did Tony Soprano on the show.
I am CISO's the shrink.
Mm-hmm.
I think all shrinks across television are mm-hmm. kind of ubiquitous. They share a lot in common.
Yeah, they help Tony Soprano.
They help Tony Soprano. I mean, they've helped a lot of people.
He kissed him one time.
Yeah. Was that a dream? No, that was a real kiss?
No, happened real and in the dream. In the dream, you like effectively the shrink.
Yeah.
Where like, Tony, come here and get, you know.
I mean, that
I don't want to say that it's HBO. I don't want to say the kind of stuff, but.
Oh, that was about Tony's fantasy about the shrink, whether it was CISO's the shrink or the Sopranos the shrink.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much trust there, you feel a need to kind of take advantage of that trust sexually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I look forward to building enough trust that by the end of this podcast episode, potentially you're thinking something sexual about me.
Well, we really did just meet, which is funny that because I was not thinking that that was where it was going to go. But you do seem to operate so quickly. Everything is so condensed.
Yeah.
With you. I guess it would take longer than just this one podcast episode. But I appreciate you saying out loud that that is what you are hoping.
I mean,
to happen with this. Honesty is great.
We're not going to follow through on that. Definitely not during the episode, you know.
Okay.
We can leave it to listeners' imagination once the episode is done. I'm a Swift operator.
Wow.
You're true on that.
Yeah.
I think that the two of us have this kind of funhouse mirror thing going on.
No, I'm experiencing that as well, except it's a funhouse mirror that is just like flat. There's no like real curve in it. It's just I guess what you would call it is a mirror.
Yeah, it's a mirror. I mean, it's tilted up a little bit because you seem to be a couple inches taller than me.
Right, it is tilted a little bit.
So there's maybe like a 5
mine's
degree.
Mine's tilted down.
Yeah, yours is tilted 5 degrees down. Mine's tilted 5 degrees up.
Yeah.
Brett, you kind of look like us too. So let's get into...
He is starting to, isn't he? But this is the thing. Every new record, I would say he looks 0.5% more like me and Sean, who also looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
He's... growing, he's wearing like he's adding a layer to his lips, and he thinks nobody notices.
This is the first time you've mentioned this.
I've seen you take off your shoes before you go to the bathroom, and I've seen the lifts in there, buddy.
He has to step out of his shoes. He has to have help coming down from his shoes.
You wouldn't see me sitting here if I didn't do that.
What?
I'd be under the table.
Yeah. You're that small. Okay, so when I first met you, you were like above table size, but I guess you have been doing this for a while. Here I was thinking that it was for my benefit. And so I think his idea is like, if I just do a tiny, tiny bit at a time, people won't notice that now my shoes are 3 feet tall. And it's like, yeah, eventually I did notice. Maybe not the difference from week to week, but the big shoes, like people are noticing.
When I first met you, I was already at like 2 feet. I was just surpassing like 2 feet shoes.
Well, if I can see so's the shrink you for a second, I think you want to fit in with Sean and Hayes. And that's admirable because, you know, they have a great rapport. You record a lot of these podcasts. So
I don't want to spend too much time on Brett.
Okay, let me.
We were getting somewhere.
We'd honestly be here for a really long time.
Unfortunately, I say this as CISO's the shrink all the time. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Mm.
Hayes, let's deal with your relationship with Sean. Let's dive back into it.
Start with this is kind of like a – feel stupid even complaining about this. He's on a phone a lot during the show.
During the show?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like he's going through Twitter or Instagram or email.
Based on the way his thumbs are moving,
mm-hmm.
it seems like he is on the Chive.
Ooh.
You know how when you're looking at the Chive, your thumbs are moving in this very delicate way because the content is so precious.
Yeah.
You don't want to – the Chive and Barstool and like some – I can tell sometimes when he's like switching back and forth from the Chive and Barstool.
Yeah.
And being so delicate with the content and also not wanting to put his thumb too much on the screen because that would obscure the chiving.
Yeah. And he's got a chive on.
Yes. And he is keeping very calm and chiving on.
Let me use a CISO the shrink tactic that I think is just going to put you at ease and, mm-hmm. and kind of continue to open you up, let you kind of blossom when it comes to divulging what's going on between you and Sean. Noticing someone's thumbs is very observant.
So I am, I've always kind of thought of myself as being the kind of person notices details.
Let me reinforce that.
And that's where my comedy comes from too. A lot of specifics.
Right. Satan is in the details.
Yeah, Satan, like the tofu, the vegan stuff. And that is kind of a detail
specific,
that I've
that's
noticed.
A nice detail.
That is, especially in LA.
You went even further because the phrase is devil in the details. I said Satan is in the details,
yes.
But I pronounced it a bit bizarre. And you all of a sudden jumped several levels down to Satan, which is a vegan substitute for me.
Right, the substitute to Treat Williams. And I can do that 3 or 4 times in a row before I get too tired to do it anymore. So, but that was observing something that you said. So, yes, I have always thought that that was something I could do. Sean has always said that I'm not – that he's the one who's really good at that kind of observational comedy and noticing what words people said, doing a little twist up on it.
Okay. All right. But you notice these things about Sean, and perhaps he's not really – if he's sensitive and he's observant about other things, maybe he's not noticing that his thumb movement during a podcast episode is affecting you this way.
Yeah. No, I know. I know. I don't think he is. I don't blame him. The stuff that's going on his phone looks really funny and cool. And they got smoke shows. You seen this Barstool Sports? You seen these smoke shows?
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time doing a podcast. Brett's like, oh, I don't know.
Is Sean married?
Yes, he is married to a woman that he is friends with. And his name's Steffi Graf.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's one of the best tennis players of all time. Or just has the same name?
No, that is, I think, the real Steffi Graf.
Whoa, you've never spent time with her.
I have spent time with her.
Okay.
Sean and I will go look at her house a lot.
Okay. And he'll be like, my wife is in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be like, yeah, and he'll just sort of talk about like, yeah, it's just like so weird being married. My wife is like right in the house right now.
Oh, man.
You know, and I, of course, am in a relationship where I am the husband of Carrie Ann Moss, but she is not my wife.
Okay.
According to a relationship that, like, an arrangement that we have worked out. This, like, progressive thing, you know, marriage doesn't have to be this one thing anymore.
Sure, it's still evolving. I mean, we're in a period of transition from kind of old dynamics of kind of social construction to something new.
Yeah.
We don't really have the tools yet available to define what those things are.
Yeah, there's not the word for this.
No, there isn't. But yes. I do see you're wearing a traditional wedding ring to symbolize your love and union with Carrie Ann Moss.
Yes.
So, you know, kudos to you for showing yourself a little bit of respect.
I woke up one morning from having spent the night with her, and it was on, and it doesn't come off anymore. So, and that's what it's like. That's what marriage is, you know, it's kind of a metaphor for this whole marriage thing, you know.
Yeah, you can't get it off.
But Sean is... That's been an ongoing thing. My relationship with Carrie Ann, I think he is jealous of it. It takes me away from him sometimes. And he's like, oh, like, that sucks. Like, you and Carrie Ann have to, like, hang out together so much. Me and Steffi kind of have our own thing where she's in that house. I'm in my dad's house. Like they have this very loose arrangement. And he kind of makes me feel guilty about that. I do have to, yes, occasionally spend time, go to Pumpkin Patch with Carrie Ann Moss, like that kind of thing.
And he still lives with his dad?
He lives in a, what is technically a separate unit. I thought you were a fan of the show. But I understand you're in shrink mode. You have to pretend you're not a fan of the show. You're doing CISO's The Shrink.
I'm doing CISO's The Shrink.
And it's not the same universe. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for calling you on that. Now I realize what you're doing.
I'm being David Tracy, CISO's The Shrink. Obviously, CISO shows.
Where do you come up with these names, by the way?
Those names?
Yeah.
That was named after a real guy who happened to be a doctor, and it kind of happened, like the story kind of happened to him in a similar way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're not allowed to do, you just use the guy's name?
No, we changed the spelling of it. David was spelled R-A-L-F-H.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ralph.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so Sean does live technically next to his dad underneath. Like a kind of next to that's below.
Okay.
And it has a separate entrance.
It's like first floor.
First floor. First floor is the one above the ground.
Okay.
His is like the negative first floor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like and
it, raid chaussee, as the Europeans would call it.
Yes.
Specifically the French.
Raid chaussee. Mm-hmm. Separate entrance that is a window.
Okay. And steps that go down.
He has made steps. The window does not have like steps below it. It's one of those little windows that is kind of peeking out above the ground.
Yeah.
And you go in through the window, and he has made steps out of DVD cases.
Okay. I'm not going to say this all the time, but explain further.
Okay. Big house on the top.
Uh-huh.
Above the ground.
Right.
Little window, right, going down into the space that's below the ground. They dig out a room.
Okay.
Below the ground. Hmm. There, but there's a little window peeking out that you can kind of see into the below part.
Okay. I'm almost never going to say this, but I don't get it. Keep going.
Open the window.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get through the window to go inside down into the below part under the ground below the big house on top.
Right, right.
And to get down there, you glue a bunch of DVD cases together in the shape of steps uh-huh. that you can kind of crawl down
right.
to get into this apartment that is sort of upside down below the ground.
Again, something that's very rare coming out of my mouth, but
yeah.
not quite clicking for me. Need a little bit more explanation.
If you take a room,
mm-hmm.
normal room, sitting on top of the ground,
yeah.
dig a hole,
yeah.
sink the room below the ground.
Uh-huh.
This is where Sean lives. It's not a sinkhole. He explained this to me because,
okay.
our, because of the time our... We were driving along and did fall into a sinkhole. And I said, this is kind of like where you live. And he's like, no, it's not. This is very different. This is, I was like, oh, this is like, this is your house. We're at your house. And he said, no, this is much more dangerous than my house.
Right. This is a sinkhole.
Yes.
Okay. Now I think I understand the difference, at least between a sinkhole and where Sean lives.
Yes. The danger.
Yeah. Still don't quite understand what his living arrangement is.
It's a basement.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Keep going.
And he lives down there. I did answer your question.
Oh no, yeah, I meant back to the now I'm sad. Yeah, I'm satisfied with that. I understand.
Oh, keep going on other yeah, on a different
on other thing. I understand where he lives now and what his living arrangement is. So
yeah, so just that, like a lot of jealousy always kind of flying around with seemingly like everything I do. So I'm doing this new show now.
Oh.
On my own.
Okay.
Where I review Funko Pops. You know Funko Pops?
No.
Do they ever do CISO Funko Pops?
No. I think that
they might have done them.
That was in development, I think, when the plug got pulled.
So, okay. So I have, will you, Brett, will you search Funko Pops? So.
Search.
So the shrink can see Funko Pops? You really don't know these?
Can you slow down the word?
It's two words.
Sounds like Brett doesn't know it either.
You don't know Funko Pops?
Whoa.
You're just blazing through it. Those are two words?
Yes, Funko Pops.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you look for it?
No. I will now.
Everyone, so you can understand what I'm talking about. Search Funko Pops. You don't know these? This is the most famous toys.
And
these
toys?
Actually are famous.
I thought they were lollipops.
No.
These sound like famously unknown toys.
No, these are, once you see a picture, you'll say, oh, yeah, so those are Funko Pops. I know what these are now. It's will not, you show him, please?
Yeah, these look like bobbleheads.
They don't bobble. The heads don't move.
Okay, so they're.
Have you seen those before?
They're non-bobbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen them.
You have seen them.
They're dolls with big heads.
I have a Lars Ulrich one.
They're not dolls.
They're tiny little dolls. They have tiny bodies and they have big
heads. They're figurines. They do. Yes, they have big heads. I guess that's one way to put it. They have them for basically every character that was ever invented. And I have every single one. But some aren't. They're not all of the same quality. People are like, oh, all these Funko Pops look exactly the same. They have the same eyes. And it's just like if it's the Joker, he has Joker hair or whatever. But some are much better likenesses than others.
Hmm.
So along comes the Funko Pops review show where when a new Funko Pops comes out, I review the Funko Pops.
And you do this in a podcast?
I do this in my own podcast that I am doing on my own time, a passion project that I have been pursuing for years and laying the groundwork for Sean saying like, no, I'll still do Hollywood Handbook, but I want to do Funko Pops review show.
Is this an escape hatch for you?
I don't necessarily think of it that way. It allows me to be myself.
Let me ask you a question, be brutally honest. If the Funko Pops podcast takes off, would you leave Hollywood Handbook?
The Funko Pops podcast is getting huge enough that this is a question that I have started to ask myself. Here I am at the beginning thinking this will be just like a fun release thing, a fun side thing. But every time I post an episode, people say, make them longer. Review more Funko Pops. Review more kinds of toys. Wow. Review bobbleheads. See, Brett here is saying like, oh, it's like you should do bobbleheads too. When he said a second ago.
Yeah, I was listening. Yeah, I heard that.
And there's almost as many bobbleheads as Funko Pops.
Now, yeah, because they're different apparently. Do you think that once Funko Pops are more widely known,
because they're famously known. Most famous toy.
Do you think?
And when you saw them, you did recognize that you had seen them before, and you just were not educated.
He's on confidentiality. It's like
about the name of them. I'm sorry again. Were you doing the shrink doesn't know what Funko Pops are? Is like that's a character thing of his? Yeah, can I talk to Tim for a second?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what Funko Pops are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Can I go back into
character? I lose track. And the characters are so different. It is.
Well, here's my fault. I didn't want to say this as the character. Because I really couldn't, because the character technically doesn't know. But as Tim, I can tell you that like Funko Pops doesn't exist in the CISO reality.
Licensing reasons.
Well, no, I just think like CISO made a decision. There are certain things that we're going to exclude from CISO reality.
Oh, like a sort of Black Mirror dystopia scenario. Yeah, no Funko Pops.
Exactly. So,
and that's why everyone's probably acting so crazy on these shows.
Well, yeah.
Some get very mad.
Well, the situations they are in tend to be comedic.
Dean Dragonwagon? You remember how mad he would get?
Oh, he would get furious.
Well.
Why? He had it all.
I'm watching. Well, but he didn't have the one thing, something he didn't even know how to describe in this universe, which is a little doll with a big head. And his name is Funko Pops.
You think that's why he was furious all the time?
Well, I did wonder why that was never brought up as a solution of giving him these toys to play with.
Well, he was the closest to the sun in terms of the CISO universe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still talking as Tim right now.
Yeah.
Evaluating, you know, Dean Dragonwagon and the show that he was on.
Yes. Yeah. Bergeron.
Yeah, Bergeron.
We had Kulop on here.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How many? Like three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
Am I the last person from CISO to get on this fucking show?
Almost certainly. Is there one bajillion dollar person? A dude.
You haven't had Dan a dude on?
No dude. Oof. But we did call. Tawny called. He has been on. We got his voicemail. Tawny called him during our show.
So I'm the last Virgilian.
And we heard his voicemail. And so you're the last one from Virgilian.
I'm the last Virgilian?
Yes, you are absolutely the last one.
I mean, it makes sense. You can't have the straight mirror version of you guys on the show right away. That's a very bad message to the rest of the Virgilian cast.
Yes. And there is always a risk with having you on the show that you would easily replace us and no one would notice. That's I would show up next, like you would, by the end of the show, you would do sort of a duck season, rabbit season thing and start calling me Tim. I would go back into the world as Tim, never knowing the life that I used to have.
I would use your skills to my advantage in my regular life, send you out as Tim to accomplish the things that I couldn't accomplish in my life.
Right.
And then I would stay here. I'd record the podcast. I'd come back.
Yeah.
I'd kind of tag you out or put you to sleep, inoculate you somehow.
Yeah. Here's the only problem with that plan. Basically the same skills. You go out there and kind of be like, oh, this is pretty much what I was working with before.
I don't know. I haven't bagged Carrie Ann Moss, man.
And that, again, that is not the word that I would use, although there is a bag involved.
Look, it sounds like you made love hard enough one night that you woke up with a wedding band on. Is that how it works? Because that's what I've been trying
to
do.
Is that how it works?
And I still got naked fingers.
So.
Hard enough? Well, maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Can you cover those up?
Maybe it's because I know. I didn't bring gloves. It's like 100 degrees outside.
So
it's just weird to show up.
For most of the – and again, it's only because I'm talking to the shrink.
Okay. So I'm back as CISO's the shrink.
Yes. Thank you. That would make it a lot easier if you could do the shrink face while I'm talking to – about this kind of thing.
Hey, look at me. I've transformed again. I'm CISO's the
shrink. I know. And that's why it's my fault for not being able to distinguish between the characters, because the face you make when you're doing the shrink is – unrecognizable as Tim.
Give you one other way to differentiate between the two, not just my the face.
Yes,
status. As Tim Baltz, I'm insanely high status because I know that's how things get done in Hollywood. Take no fucking goddamn prisoners.
Yes.
You step on people's throats. Mm-hmm. You tie their hands behind their back. You slap them. You put them out in the middle of the street. You ridicule them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get ahead in this town.
Mm-hmm.
This town's gritty. It's tough.
Yeah.
All right? That's what Los Feliz is like. That's where I
yes.
live.
Yeah.
But CISO's
the shrink. Los Feliz, the podcast.
Oh, is there one?
Yeah. Freaking Morgan Murphy hosts it.
Is it great?
She's a very popular comedian.
Did she just talk about Los Feliz?
It's the only thing that they ever talk about. And they got a stop sign put in somewhere.
See,
you should listen to that show, Tim.
Well, you know, Tim, the person has been living in New York for a little while, following the news.
Yeah.
It's been a real grind.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm back. I'm loving Los Feliz. I'm ready to be high status. But CISO's the shrink.
Yes.
Super low status.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I use my high status to claim primarily low status roles.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I think there's just so much more leverage from low status.
And people want, like, to see themselves on screen, too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of sad sack low status morons out there.
Yes.
They're just clamoring for someone to get stepped on screen.
Yes. Do you mind if I speak to the shrink?
Yeah, okay.
For a minute?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the shrink.
Well,
he's just saying that he's...
Brett, yeah, you're looking at me from
talking about Tim Baltz's career. Yes, that's right. Sorry, he can't see the side of your face that is doing the most changing.
It's like Two-Face.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice pull.
Dude, so good thing there isn't a character called Three-Face.
So anyway, for most of my intimacy
with Sean,
this is with Carrie Ann.
Okay.
As you were alluding to, I don't know how you really picked up on this, but for most of it, I am in a bag. We call it the bag, but it is a bag. It is a... It smells like a bathroom trash bag. Like...
Smaller than most bags.
It's small.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, head size. And I think it's like a few layers of it.
So it just covers your head?
It covers my head, my feet, for some of the stuff I'm going to be walking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I punch through a couple of my hands and wear them on my shoulders as well. I think that's because she says my shoulders are not really like defined enough, like rounded sloped. Off enough. They are a little bit sloped. And so we add a couple layers of bathroom trash bags to erase the slope. So, and this is all kind of just being done to me.
Do you feel like you're in an abusive relationship with Carrie Ann Moss?
That is a word that I am not allowed to use.
She doesn't allow you to use it.
Or hear.
She doesn't allow you to use it or hear it?
Whoever is out on... So, while the bag is on, it's kind of hard to know who is telling me what to do. So, I don't... I'm not really sure if that is coming from her or some of the other people that seem to be involved once the bag is on.
Do you see her before the bag goes on?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes after. And sometimes, like when I woke up with the ring on, that I hadn't seen her for a couple days before that and did not see her before the bag went on. It's a little like being renditioned.
Mm.
If you've ever been renditioned before.
I've watched people get renditioned.
Oh, sure. You've seen it. Okay, so you're calling a lot of those in.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You make a phone call. You hide behind a fire hydrant. Watch the van come up. Watch the hood go on. Yes, I've, of course, done that.
I do it to my friends.
Yes, it's like it's a really good friend prank.
Yeah. To my enemies, I get on Twitter. But to my friends...
You just get on?
I just get on. I just rendition them.
Oh, okay.
I put on my little red jumpsuit. I hide behind a fire hydrant. I watch them get renditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you woke up with this wedding band on,
yeah,
did you feel like it was a symbol of something?
It was hot. And so that, I thought, could have been some kind of metaphor for – it felt – you know what it felt like? It had just been smelted. And that would have explained some of the smell. I guess is where the word smelted comes from.
Definitely. Or vice versa. Might be where smell comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Someone smelted something and was like, what's that sensation in my nostrils?
There was this very metallic smell and smokiness happening in the outside the bag that night. A lot of people there.
Gathered around, hands on the bag like Blair Witch.
They sounded like – I don't know if this is like the PC thing, the PC term. They sounded like dwarves.
Hey, we're in a safe space. You could say dwarves as much as you want to me.
But not – like people say like, oh, like they had like high voices or something. No. They had like the low voice, but like – that it was like a colony of dwarves,
right?
And this is like their specialty
from inside the mountain. They live in Griffith.
Yes,
maybe they live in Griffith Park.
You
in
mean
Griffith
dwarves Park. With like a
you
V?
You talk about that on Los Fields the podcast.
Yeah, I bet they do. Yeah,
I mean dwarves with a V. Yes,
right. I don't think I think that's totally
that's different.
Acceptable.
Oh, okay. Well, Brett knows all about this stuff.
Jeez, shrink dwarves. Love to see your browser what? History, buddy. Shoe lifts.
Now, are you Tim right now, or are you the shrink?
Yeah, definitely.
He wants to know who he's showing his browser history to.
As a shrink, you shouldn't be talking to
him. Yeah, I know.
But if he's showing it to the shrink, it's pretty safe. It's not going to – it's not airing on CISO anymore.
I'm not going to judge you for that. You're not a character in episode 9 of The Shrink, you know, which would have been a great episode, by the way. We had season 2 all figured out.
Oh, if you could get Brett.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
I'll
so
say
great.
It would have been a great episode.
And we'd take your shoes off at the end of the episode, and people would be like, ah, he was that short the whole time?
Never been seen before.
Never been seen before. And then the Shrink theme song would play.
The iconic song.
God, I love that song.
No, I was stepping outside of the Shrink as Tim to roast you.
Okay, gotcha.
Your browser history is quite a cocktail. So back as the Shrink.
Yeah.
And so they smelted this thing onto your finger, which is probably why it hasn't been able to come off.
Yeah.
It's probably melted onto your finger.
That would explain
other smells.
Yeah.
Now, I don't – all of that was lovely to hear. I'm not sure how – I want to know how it relates to your relationship with Sean.
Okay.
He's not here. How does that make you feel? He's with Steffi Graf. You're with Carrie Ann Moss sometimes.
Right.
But do you feel like he bailed on you today? Do you feel like –
I feel like – So I think a lot of what I'm getting from my relationship with Carrie Ann is kind of like, well, at least while this is all going on, at least she's not on her phone while we're recording a podcast. You know what I mean?
Did she record that Funko Pop podcast with you?
No, I'm a little scared to tell her about it. But although I actually did a really nice episode where I reviewed the person who I am husband to. Sorry, not my wife. I reviewed her Funko Pops.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was it sexy to see her head that big and her body that little?
Don't get me.
Yeah,
Brett, you're baiting me right now.
Yeah, you're going to bait yourself when we're done. For sure. All right, back is the shrink.
It's just, yeah, the kind of...
Are they the same person? Do you think that Carrie Ann Moss and Sean are the same people to you? Would you?
Well, actually, I would even non-metaphorically, I have been sort of wondering if they are the same person. Their hair's the same length.
For sure. I've seen pictures of Sean. Never met him.
Yeah.
I've seen Carrie Ann Moss at Little Dom's, obviously, in the John Hammond.
Obviously. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Friend of Earwolf.
Little Dom's?
Little John.
Little John Hamm.
Yes.
Of course.
Surely you've done one of his famous Comedy Bang Bang episodes.
That he was on?
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, we've had the opportunity to do ads promoting those episodes. So a true honor to even just be tangentially involved in the promotion of those famous episodes.
Let's go back just a bit to Sean and Carrie Ann Moss potentially being the same.
Being the same person.
And let me ask you one question that, again, is
similar athletic build.
Absolutely. I think the same kind of charisma on camera, at least in still photos that I've seen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question that cuts right to the core again. And I'm sorry, I've asked you so many of these as CISO's the Shrink. If it were socially acceptable for two hosts of the same podcast to be together, do you think you and Sean would be together? Is Carrie-Anne Moss a replacement for what you can't have with Sean? Because of what society tells you.
Because we host the same podcast.
And you look the same, yeah. I'd feel uncomfortable being with you because we've done a podcast episode now and we kind of look the same.
Right. So is this a change of plans? Because you said earlier that it was going to lead towards us potentially being together. Or is this – okay, sorry. I don't want to jump ahead for you. This is like that you sort of lead me off the track and then you get me back on potentially.
If listeners will slow down probably like the last 15 seconds, there is a bonus episode in there that kind of explains the quandary that you just posed.
Yeah, I don't know why it's just like this unspoken rule in society that people who host a podcast can't be together. I don't think Paul and June Day and Raphael should have had to get divorced.
Yeah, it was hard for their kids.
A podcast?
And their charity work.
Really, yes. Suffered.
Yeah.
I don't think Leonard Maltin and his daughter, who do a show together, should have to not be father and daughter anymore. I think you should be allowed to be in the same family with the person that you host a podcast with. And I don't know why. And
Baron Vaughn is part of that family, right?
I don't think so anymore.
Okay.
I think, let's put it this way. I think Leonard Maltin and Baron Vaughn are allowed to be married now.
Because their chemistry was electric. It seemed like they were.
It could be that.
Grew up together.
It could be that he replaced Baron Vaughn with his daughter because he said, well, we're going to get married. Me and Baron Vaughn are just going to get married. The marriage is more important than the podcast. But what I'm saying is I don't think he does that show anymore.
And also, Brett, keep taking it down a notch.
But, yeah, I –
That was just a quick Tim, right?
Yeah, that was okay. – Yeah, I stepped out for a second. Stepping back in. What resolution would you like to see you and Sean arrive at through this? What are you most worried about, and what's your ideal? Paint the ideal scenario, friendship wise, with you and Sean. Forget about the sexual stuff. Let's take that out for now.
Okay,
it's always going to be there, as Brett knows.
Me and Sean, ideal situation.
Ideal situation. Just show me what it looks like.
Okay. We live together. In the house from Iron Man, but it has more like medieval stuff. It's not like the exact same house. It's like in the same location, and some of the pool's the same, but it has more like medieval, like castle-y elements.
Same technology.
Yes, but it's more like a steampunky thing. So it's like. Very futuristic technology, but as if it were invented in medieval times.
It's still
– And more animatronic characters and stuff.
Okay. So surrounded by glass still so that people can see from the outside?
Stained like medieval
glass. Oh, it's stained glass.
Telling stories of the friendship that me and Sean have.
Okay. A bit like – well, almost like Beauty and the Beast. This is making me think of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
That was very accurate.
It's kind medieval. It's kind of for boys. It's more for boys than that.
Okay.
Beauty and the Beast is for girls. Ours is more the King Arthur movie that came out last year.
Oh, yeah.
The Charlie Hunnam one.
Oh, yeah.
That's more our thing.
Okay.
That's for boys. And I have a studio. I do a Funko Pops review show.
Who engineers that?
Okay, fine, Brett. You can live in the house, too. So Brett lives in the house.
Okay.
Let's give him, like, a basement room.
He's engineer for Funko Pop's review show. Okay. Yeah, you live in the dungeon.
Cool.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, he likes that.
Yeah, it'll probably turn into a sex dungeon pretty quickly if Brett has anything to do with it.
And there's Funko Pops of me and Sean.
Like medieval Funko Pops?
You guys that could like be extremely fun.
Really small chainmail because the bodies are small from what you've told me about Funko Pops.
And you have seen them and you know what they are. Yeah, so it's not just that I told you. We could be wearing chainmail and have suit of armor on our head. You wouldn't know it was us. Maybe the visor's open. The eyes are kind of all the same for Funko Pops. Maybe it's detachable. They have never done that before. Funko Pops don't have a lot of moving parts, or I have tools that can kind of separate some of the parts and reapply them so you can sort of mix and match Hawkeye Man's body to the Riddler's head.
Quick sidebar. Do you have a Funko Pop of CISO's The Shrink?
So I have made Funko Pops with this kind of mixing and matching for every CISO character.
Really?
Yes.
Dean Dragonwagon has one?
Dean Dragonwagon has one.
Probably the first one he made.
Yes. I took the mustache from Rob Delaney's character at Deadpool, who they did Funko Pops for, and put it on the head of just like a generic Funko Pop like mold. And that was Dean Dragonwagon. CISO's The Shrink Funko Pop. The head is Chad Michael Murray. That same like hair flavor. I have styled the hair, so it's a little different. But Chad Michael Murray head. And the bottom is Pee Wee Herman's suit body.
Oh, great bottom.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, look at Brett's eyes pop when I said that.
You stare right at me as you're saying these suggestive things.
Well, yeah. So that's how he sees what your eyes are doing.
Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the whites get so much bigger.
You don't want to see
the opposite of Funko Pop eyes.
Your eyes got so big, your eyebrows disappeared, buddy.
So, yeah, does that – yes. Yes, this is in a fantasy world, this is the life that Sean and I and Brett have.
All right, then follow-up question. What's the obstacle, or what are the obstacles standing in the way of you and Sean having that life together?
I would say society's regressive attitude towards podcast hosts being in love. And the house Iron Man already lives there. So those are the two. Those are big ones.
I feel like the first one is changing. All right.
Okay.
I think thanks to kind of everyone realizing that love is love.
Yeah.
And that we shouldn't stand in the way of that. And
yeah. Thanks to honestly the people that really paved the way on this is the Sklars, because people tried to make them not brothers anymore. And that has proven extremely hard to do.
They can't do it.
No.
And then the second thing is Iron Man is going to die someday if he hasn't already.
No. Look. His friggin' magic heart is always at risk of exploding itself nuclear blast.
Yes.
And hurt Pepper Potts. Imagine they hug and she hugs too hard, a nuclear blast. Ugh. And that would be awful, but then I get to live in his house.
Yeah.
Until then, Sean and I have occasionally gotten a little impatient, go to the house and receive a blasting from possibly the real Iron Man, more likely one of his now thousands of AI controlled Iron Man suits.
See, this is why that dream is potentially never going to happen. Because even if Iron Man dies, every single one of those suits could lay claim to the house and pretend to be Iron Man and just be like, I don't feel like getting out of the suit today.
Yes. And honestly, that is probably the next movie.
I hope you guys are characters in that movie. But I will.
From your lips.
Let me just.
It's basically my lips.
Yeah, our lips. Our lips are joined. All right, Brett.
Well, this is where it's going.
Yeah, all right, Brett.
All right, relax, Brett.
Relax. So I hate to say this. I hate to say that your dreams are shit and they'll never come true. But there is something to say for setting expectations at a reasonable level so that you get a sense of achievement when you achieve them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you've done is you've set you and Sean up for these unrealistic expectations.
Okay. That well, set a reasonable achievement level for us.
Get a one-bedroom in Culver City together.
Okay. How about for the show, popularity of this show?
That's where
popular,
I live.
Popular.
Yeah. All right, Brett.
I just randomly picked
and
Brett, it.
Right? I did have to say that's the lowest expectation.
Oh, that's this. You guys are in my bedroom.
You drive from
relax, Brett.
You drive from Culver City to Hollywood almost every day.
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's a grind.
Yeah, and you notice that
that's
he was
why I look like this.
Almost 5 minutes late today.
Oof, that's tough. What do you take, Rim Powder Rampart?
I actually take Crenshaw.
Really?
Usually, yeah.
You shouldn't say this stuff out loud. If it's a better shortcut, you should keep it to yourself.
No, that's why I said
that's
that.
That's Tim telling you. Oh, so you're misleading people? You don't take Crenshaw?
What? Now you're the shrink getting in my head.
No, this is Tim.
What does that face look like, too? Does that look like the shrink?
Does it look
it's
like shrink?
It's so hard to tell.
Is one side of his face burned off, basically?
I'm
no.
I'm looking at his fingers
yeah,
more
these
than
are,
anything.
Yeah, these
fingers. Because when he's the shrink, he's pointing guns with his hands, I've noticed.
Yeah, which is a very low status thing to do. Right. Right now, I'm giving you a very high status face, and I'm judging you harshly for whatever your shortcut is to get from Culver City to Hollywood. Which, by the way, you should feel secure enough in this job to move fucking closer to Hollywood, buddy. You can't live in Culver City.
I don't know. I mean, he could feel secure enough in doing this job, I think. The company, I mean, any second now. You notice there's no one else here.
Yeah.
Right? It's just us.
His offices are dead.
It's been like that for a long time.
They lay people off?
And look, I haven't been keeping track really of whether the show's been coming out. I just come in here. I talk into this thing. They tell me it's on the internet.
Well, you're clearly more focused on your Funko Pop podcast right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I got other stuff. I got a million irons on the fire. Brett, they told you anything? They say, oh, we're moving to a different floor. I've never seen that floor.
I haven't either. I supposedly designed it.
What is it, second floor? Second floor?
Okay, now I know.
Let's
this
not
is...
give away where we are. You're saying second floor is already too much information.
We're on, like, what, the 16th floor?
Are you doing that thing where you mislead?
Yeah, this is my Crenshaw moment, Brett.
Okay, all right.
Now I know. So something Brett just said has me realizing that this move is fake. Brett just said he designed the new office. What I think happened is they gave Brett a sheet of computer paper and a colored pencil, and they let you do a little design, right?
Yeah.
And they said, we'll take this, and now this is going to be our new office?
Pretty much.
I don't know. That is not ever going to be an office.
Well, studio. It's a pro studio that I dropped.
That's what you drew?
Yeah.
What did it have in it?
Yeah. When you drawed Pro Studio, what did you draw, Brett?
Pro Studio written on the top.
Yeah, well, of course, you title it. You write Pro Studio.
Uh-huh.
Did a bunch of, like,
what
drew
you?
Cool mics and shit.
Yeah, you drawed them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I drew a guitar.
Yeah,
sweet like whammy bar.
This sounds
table.
Like this sounds like a Homestar Runner sketch or something.
I'm not familiar.
Let me guess. Are you in the drawing as well?
Well, yeah. How else would I?
And there's an arrow pointing at you that says the boss of Earwolf.
No, I don't know. That I did not.
You don't know
that.
How that got there?
No.
I think you drew it.
Yeah, you drew it, buddy.
I have no idea how that got there. There's a bunch of arrows pointing to me, and with like the cool emoji, the sunglasses.
You draw that?
I draw all of that.
How long has it been in the show?
It's been an hour and 4 minutes.
Look,
and four
we
seconds.
Have to get down to the real business of being here. Save CISO. Bring it back. You, as fans, have the power to save it.
And the real fans know it is operating underground, and you can tap into it still for $3.99 a month, the cost of a latte, although not in Los Feliz. It's probably gone up to $4.99 right now. And $6 if you're going to tip and be nice. And don't tip change. Tip a dollar. You can access it. However, it is illegal right now to access it until Trump deregulates
it's
the rest of America.
It's pirate television.
That's true.
Punk.
I was in Europe recently, and
it's Empire Records, essentially.
Yeah,
yeah. You were in Europe.
I was in Europe, and people came up to me and they said, "Oh, this is so issue.
This is so.
I torrent your show. I torrent Bergerian. I torrent.
I discovered your show on the Pirates Bay.
The Pirates Bay has Jay Okinfor slap you, shut up, fucker. It has take my wife. It is Caesar's your shrink." It has what all the other CISO shows.
Besser breaks the record.
Besser breaks the record. Ah, oh, Besser.
Matthew Besser.
Matthew Besser. Le UCP 4. Le game. Le if this, then what? Le... The mod.
Le cyanide et happiness.
Le Gale Pyle bad boy. Bring it back. We tired of stealing it. That's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they told me.
And they want more people to seed it, at least.
At least. At least.
Not enough seeding going on for the CISO show.
No. So hopefully, and I know you, it sounds like you and Sean are going to be well. You're going to be fine. He's going to be back. He's going to suck all the honey out of these snails. He's going to get the payload. He'll be out for a day or two. He'll be in withdrawal.
Yeah. And very sunburnt.
Very
based
sunburnt.
Based on some of the selfies.
But, you know, you leave him on the sidewalk in a pile of sugar water. He's going to be okay. He'll rehydrate himself. He'll be back in the studio. And the real point... Saving CISO will happen, you know?
Save CISO. Watch Shrink on the NBC app.
It's never too late to get Twitter hashtags trending. Save CISO. I've done my part. And thank you for having me on.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.